Before we open God's word, let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, in this afternoon hour, we ask that as your word is open, that we would be able to open our hearts and receive your words of life, and that we would always turn to this living word in all seasons of life. And we ask that you would be with all those who've gathered in your name in this day and hour throughout all this world, that where there are one or two are gathered, you are in their midst. And we ask that you'd be with those who are meeting in secret, those who face harsh circumstances, who do not have the freedoms to go about and to proclaim your name in a public space. And we ask that we'd always have boldness and courage to speak the truth. We ask now that we would remember your Son Jesus, shedding of his innocent blood on the cross and the atonement for sin that is provided to a lost mankind. It's our prayer that many more would be drawn to the fold while there is yet a time and day of grace. Ask all these things in the name of your risen Son, Jesus. Amen. This afternoon, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to read 25 verses from the book of Ezekiel. And it will actually span three chapters, but to complete the instruction that the Lord gives to Ezekiel, I feel led to cover that portion. So Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a prophet to the children of Israel who are in exile in Babylon, and there's still a remnant who are back in the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jeremiah is his contemporary back to those Israelites who have not been led away into captivity. So God has given Ezekiel a vision, and he's given him commands. And I'm going to begin in Ezekiel chapter 3 with verse 25, and I'm going to go through Ezekiel chapter 5 to the fourth verse.
Читайте се любите Старога Завета из книги пророка Езекииля из 3 глави. 25
But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. Chapter 4. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set the battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. And set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, though it shall bear, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah for 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face towards the siege of Jerusalem, and thy arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another, till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And the meat which thou shalt eat thereof by weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, a sixth part of a hin from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with the dung that cometh out of a man in their sight. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted from my youth up even until now have I not eaten that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for a man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread wherewith. Moreover, he said unto them, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water, and be astoned one with another, and consume away for their iniquity. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balances of weight and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and thou shalt take a third part and smite it with a knife, and a third part shalt thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number, and bind them in their skirt. Then take of them again, and cast them in the midst of the fire, and burn them in the fire thereof. And for thereof shall a fire come forth into the house of Israel. I've read through the fourth verse of chapter 5. Let us pray. Lord God, we humbly come before you in prayer, and we ask that you would be in our midst, and that we would feel your uplifting power and spirit, and that we would take this time to listen for that still small voice that would instruct us, that would convict us, that would prick our hearts to see the direction that you would have for us in our lives, and that we could take this day of rest as an opportunity to put ourselves second, and that we could see where you would have us be used in the service of others, and that we would be a people willing to sacrifice and willing to seek the needs of others. We ask your forgiveness for our sins and our transgressions, and where we've hurt those around us, and where we've ultimately hurt you, and where we have taken lightly your commandments. And we ask that we would always strive to walk upright and diligent, and have our hearts upon your will And the hope of eternity that you give to your children of a glorified time when we shall be reunited with the one we love most. We thank you for Jesus, for the instruction, for the teaching, for living a perfect life and then being crucified. And that shed atoning blood covers sinners yet in this day. We ask that you would be with all those who are facing illness and who are sick in hospital beds, that you would be with them and heal where it be your will. And we ask that you'd be with those who are in war-torn lands, who have lost everything, who are refugees now, that you would provide for them. And there would be an opportunity for your word to spread. And we know there are times where we take things for granted and we go through each day as if it were the same as every other, and we forget the purpose you've given us. We ask that you would be with those less fortunate than ourselves, and that we would be always willing to give and to help those who have not been so materially blessed as us. We ask now that you would add to this prayer where it lacks, and we commit it to you in the name of your risen Son, Jesus. Amen. At the end of chapter 3, the Lord is telling Ezekiel something I'm sure he's not thrilled to hear, that he's going to be confined and not be able to go about freely. And not only that, his tongue is going to also be bound. And he's not going to be able to speak unless his mouth is opened again by the Lord to proclaim the warning of the coming judgment upon the people of Israel. For they are a rebellious house, as it says twice in those verses. And the Lord has chosen somebody who's living in exile to give this warning about what will happen to Jerusalem. And this is a divided house. Those of the remnant who are still in the promised land, in the holy city, have developed this attitude where they feel that because they are there, because they were not taken into captivity, that they're somehow, they have exhibited a more righteous lifestyle, or they have been worthy of this measure of mercy that was given to them. And Ezekiel is being instructed to prophesy that this is not the case, that their downfall is coming very soon. And often the prophets are prophesying about things that will happen decades or even centuries later. But at this time when Ezekiel is instructed to proclaim this, it's at most 7 years away that this siege of Jerusalem will happen. So Ezekiel's instructed to go into his house. He's now unable to speak. And he's told him to take a tile or a template and to make a drawing of it, on it, to portray Jerusalem. And to draw it under siege and a fortress that was used by the enemy to go up against the wall to gain entry. I believe a siege fortress was a medieval term that was often used. And to show this great camp of the enemy army around it. And how there'd be battering rams. And Jerusalem and its inhabitants would have no escape. And he's also supposed to take an iron pan and set it between his face and the drawing of the city of Jerusalem as a symbolic representation of the way God will block Jerusalem from his mercy, and that the time for repentance, the time for turning had ended. And now they were going to be left to their own devices, to their own circumstances, to the way they had chosen through their rebellion and through their disobedience to God's law. And though he's unable to speak, Ezekiel is to give this visual representation for all who go by to see as a prophecy of what it will happen to Jerusalem in a few short years. ...2020 has been an extraordinary year for most everyone. We've, to some degree or another, seen our mobility limited. We've probably all had more time than an average year to spend with ourselves or with our close circle of family. And it's probably safe to say it was inconvenient. But compared to what Ezekiel's asked, we lived in the very lap of luxury. In verse 4, the Lord tells Ezekiel to lay on his left side to represent the sins of Israel. And he's going to have to lay on his left side one day for every year that the house of Israel will be punished for their sins. 390 days to represent 390 years. And when that's over, a bit over a year later, is to turn over on his right side for another 40 days to represent the 40 years of punishment Judah will face. 430 days. Not just in his home with an abundance of distractions at his fingertips. 430 days to lie, unable to speak and contemplate upon God's coming judgment. And during that time, he's going to be eating rations that are the equivalent of what a citizen under a siege in Jerusalem will have to eat. He's told to take up these various grains, wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and pitches, and to mix them together to represent the scarcity that will come from the siege. Now, some of you have probably heard of Ezekiel 4:9 bread. It's available in many grocery stores. And it's not that this is some extraordinarily healthy food. It's to represent that anything that was available had to be scraped together to make a means of sustenance. So he's going to have that bread for 430 days. And in verse 10, it's supposed to be weighed out daily 20 shekels. And 20 shekels in our measurement system in the U.S. is approximately half a pound. So if you're eating a meal, half a pound of bread is quite a bit to supplement it with. But if you go home and take approximately half a loaf of bread and hold it in your hand and think that's all you have for the entire day, it's not much. It's enough to keep you alive, but not enough to stave off the gnawing hunger that's going to always be there. And also, with his water ration, verse 11, he's told to measure out a sixth part of a hin, which equates to about a quart of water, 4 8-ounce glasses a day. Enough to keep him alive, but never enough to really eliminate that dryness in the back of your throat. And he's going to do this for 430 days. And then, if the circumstances weren't tough enough, he's supposed to represent the fact that there will be no more animals around during a siege. They'll all have long ago been killed and slaughtered, that he's supposed to cook this food on human dung. In full sight of everyone who's going round about him, living their normal lives, who have access to food and water and in a sustainable quantity, this is obviously going to draw a lot of attention to himself, undoubtedly a lot of ridicule for this guy who's not talking, shut in his house, looking at a picture that he's drawn. But in verse 14, Ezekiel makes just one request of the Lord. He asks that he not be commanded to break God's law in the way that the food was prepared. He's strove his whole life to do what was laid out in Leviticus and Deuteronomy in the proper way to prepare food. And the Lord sees his sincerity of his request, and he allows him to use cow dung instead. Ezekiel didn't ask for a relief on the number of days he'd have to do this. He didn't ask for more food. He didn't ask for more water. He just asked that he'd not have to break God's law. That heart of acceptance and humility is not common to mankind. But Ezekiel takes this command without any thought of his own comfort or his own standing in society. And verses 15 to the end of chapter 4, the Lord says clearly that this is going to be the state of the inhabitants of Jerusalem when they are under siege from the Babylonian Empire. That what Ezekiel is going through will be felt by all those in the holy city. They're going to lack bread and water. And they were going to be desperate, looking to one another for salvation, but it won't come. No friend, no family member will be able to save them. And their sins will be what consumes them. And then in chapter 5, Ezekiel is asked to do one more physical act as a representation of God's chosen people. He's asked to take a sharp knife and shave all his hair off. And he's supposed to divide it into three parts. One third of it, he's supposed to burn, to show that a third of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will die in the siege. He's supposed to take a third part and stab it with a knife, to show those who will be killed by the enemy. And a third part he's supposed to take and scatter into the wind, to represent the exile into captivity and the disbursement of God's chosen people throughout the lands. When they're taken away, they're all not going to be taken to the same spot and held. They're going to be divided up and sent where they're needed for labor and for other acts of service to the empire that conquers them. And they are, even after they scattered, going to be persecuted, going to face violence from their enemies. But in verse 3, Ezekiel's commanded to take a few of the hairs and put them in his belt to represent the remnant that will be gathered up, that will have the grace of God upon them, that will have the opportunity to serve the true and living God. And even amongst them, there'll be those who do not take advantage of this undeserved opportunity. But we have here another scriptural example of when the Lord judges his people, he always leaves the hope for the hearts that are faithful to him, that whatever circumstances, no matter how desperate they're found themselves in, that there is intercession. That for the sincere and for those who earnestly seek him, there will be a gathering of that remnant. In this day and hour, we have cause to rejoice that we've been gathered in this remnant, that we've been grafted in as his children. And we're fortunate that as of this time, we've never experienced anything like Ezekiel's time. And I don't believe God's ever asked any one of us to set a visual example the way he asked Ezekiel to. But we have the opportunity and privilege to walk boldly and to proclaim his name, because he spared us the fire, he spared us the sword, he spared us the scattering into the wind, and that we were collected into the scant remnant. And whatever's going on out there, we have almost no control over. We can worry, we can connive, we can use our own methods and devices to try to cope with it. But the Lord watches out for his faithful. And he will spare them the ultimate destruction, the ultimate penalty, more so than any power in this earth could do to us. He spares us the final turning away. He spares us the symbolic separation of the iron pan that he showed to Ezekiel. We don't have to fear. We don't have to doubt the promises of our Lord. We live in a time and day of grace. We have the Comforter with us. We have the shed blood of Jesus Christ in this day and hour, and that's where we need to take our confidence and our hope from, and that we can see throughout Scripture there were those who were faithful and those who turned away. And time again, there were those sent to give a warning. And we have this call in this afternoon hour, and if there are those who are yet undecided, who have not decided to be in that remnant, that it's now yet a time and day of grace. Amen.